From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. It has been 40 years since President Richard Nixon put an end to the military draft in the United States, but today's all-volunteer system has created a gap between the armed forces and the citizens they serve. Today, 57% of new recruits have a family member with military experience. Are we creating a warrior class? What impact will that have on the way we wage war? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. If you serve now in the military or have served in the past, perhaps back in the days when there was a draft, call me up and tell me what you think about where we've gone over the past 40 years. It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Colonel Matt Moten is professor and head of the Department of History at West Point, a 30-year Army veteran. He served in Iraq, Kuwait, Germany, and the Pentagon. He's the author of Between War and Peace, How America Ends Its Wars. He's currently at work on a book called Presidents and Generals, due out from Harvard University Press later this year. Colonel Moten, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks for having me on.
Are Americans less invested in the military since the draft was abolished 40 years ago?
Well, I think that there's certainly a smaller percentage of Americans serving than had been serving previously, certainly during the Vietnam War, and that was even down from a high in World War II. Whether they're less personally invested in it, I'd be hard-pressed to say.
Take us back to 40 years ago, 1973. I had a draft number at that time. It was a high number. I did not get called up, but what was the reasoning behind ending the draft back then? What were Richard Nixon's reasons?
Well, the draft had stayed pretty much intact from the time that it began just before World War II. There was a short hiatus after the war, but then it was back for Korea and all the way through the Vietnam War. President Johnson had decided to extend and expand our role in Vietnam without calling up the reserves and the National Guard, which meant that we had to go to a draft. The war became very unpopular, and there was a strong anti-war movement. Nixon campaigned for president, saying that he would end the draft, and he looked at that as a way to lance the boil, if you will, of the anti-war movement. And there was great support at that time to stop the draft.
Why?
Well, because the draft presented a liability of citizenship, a reasonable chance that every young man of military age might be called up, and a large percentage of young men did not want to be involved in what was a very unpopular war.
Was the military in favor of moving to a volunteer system?
No. At the time that this legislation was under consideration, I think that the leadership of the military was very much opposed to it. They were concerned that the quality of recruits would go down and that the overall quality of the Army would suffer.
And how is the makeup, the personnel in the military different today than it was from when we had the draft?
Well, I would say generally that we've got a very high quality force now. I think that we are a little more African American in the Army and in all of the armed forces than the population at large. I think we're a little more Latino overall than the population at large. We are probably a little farther down on the socioeconomic ladder, at least in the enlisted ranks, than the greater society. But we are a great melting pot. I think even more than American society at large. A sociologist by the name of Charles Moskos, about 15 or 20 years ago, quipped that the United States Army was the only institution in America in which white men were routinely bossed around by black men. And that is something that that we treasure, that is important to us. We are a very egalitarian force.
Are we creating a warrior class, a group of people in this country, frequently the sons and daughters of military people who serve in the military, and then the vast majority of Americans who do not?
I think that is happening to some degree. My own son is going into the military. Especially, I think, in the officer corps, the military is becoming more and more of a family business, and that is something that that ought to concern society, that we are narrowing the group of people who choose to serve.
Why should that concern us? Where does that lead us that you think we should not want to go to?
Well, Sir John Hackett was a British general and military theorist, and he said that when society looks at its army, it is looking at a mirror, and if the mirror is a true one, the image that it should see is of itself. And we, as a society, and I'm speaking as a citizen now, not as an officer, we ought to want the military and society to be very close together in terms of its outlook and its values. And if we move toward having a warrior caste, if you will, that's not good for the military or for society.
Colonel Moten, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
I'm glad to talk to you. Thank you.
Colonel Matt Moten, professor and head of the Department of History at West Point. We're asking today, are we creating a warrior class because only volunteers serve in the military? Are there advantages to this? Are there disadvantages? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Next, we bring into the conversation New York Congressman Charlie Rangel, a veteran from the Korean War. He's proposed on numerous occasions that the United States reinstate the military draft. We're going to see if we can get him back in just a moment. But this is a proposal he's brought forward again and again. And some of his reasoning on that is that we are more invested as a country in a military action if there are people who are from all walks of life there. And we don't see that with the volunteer army. Your thoughts, 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. We've got Steve on the line next. Steve, thanks for giving us a call. Do you think we are creating a warrior class, and what do you think about that?
Hello?
Yes, Steve.
Yes, I agree with the previous speaker, too. But and I agree that there should be a universal draft, every man and woman, no exceptions, no deferments. I think we would have a better trained society for dealing with national disasters, and we would be more invested in foreign conflicts. We ought to take an example from maybe our British allies, that even their royalties serve. And we, on the other hand, have elected a vice president that skirted the draft, that deferred. I think he got 5 deferments because he didn't want to serve in the military. I think that's a disgrace.
Steve, we can look back to the Vietnam War and see a massive popular opposition to it. And at that time, there was a draft. It doesn't seem to necessarily bring unified purpose to the nation, even when there is compulsory service, or it didn't in that case.
Yes, that's true, and I'm a Vietnam vet. I was drafted. And at the time, I was kind of upset over the demonstrations, and I guess I would classify the draft dodgers into 2 groups, those that were wise in that it was an unfair war, and it was a war that we should not have been involved in. They were correct. I was incorrect. Then there's the other group of draft dodgers that weren't opposed to the war, like our previous vice president, but it was too inconvenient for him to serve.
Yes.
Those folks I don't have much sympathy for.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for your phone call, Steve, who served in Vietnam. We're talking today about the fact that we're 40 years past the draft, and how's that changed our armed forces? Maybe you were in the armed forces. We heard just a little bit earlier from Colonel Matt Moten that there are more African Americans, more Hispanic Americans. Perhaps many people in the military do not have as much money as they did in the previous era. There are advantages to having an all-volunteer army. On the one hand, you can say you're not there unless you voluntarily want to be there. That might encourage stronger service rather than if you're compelled. But we also heard Matt Moten talk about how a military really needs to be a mirror. When you look in that mirror, you should see the country based in the military. Are we moving away from that? And if so, is that a bad thing for us to see happening? We know that in other countries, there still is compulsory military service. And in those countries, perhaps you have lived in Israel, served in the military in Israel, and you can compare the experience there to the experience here of the past 40 years. It's 206-543-5869. Let's go to Tom, who's listening to us today in Shoreline. Tom, I understand you're also a veteran. Is that right?
Yes, yes. I'm a Vietnam-era draftee, went through officer candidate school, served in Vietnam. And my view of it is very similar to the previous caller in that I think it delivers a message to those that have the ability to get us into wars that there's a lot of people watching who have a high personal interest. And I just think, we wouldn't have gone into Iraq as quickly as we did if the mothers and fathers, of their sons and daughters would potentially have gone there. And another aspect to it is, I think if you would take a survey of men, at least my age, who served in the Vietnam War at the same time that I did, you'd find out that they are not NRA supporters. They don't have an interest in firing weapons, and I think that would also reflect positively on our society.
Hey, Tom, thanks so much for your phone call. I really appreciate you joining in. Maybe you've got a view on this, a view informed by your service in the military. Let's bring into the conversation Major General Charlie Dunlop. He's participated in operations in the Middle East and Africa. These days, he's executive director at the Center on Law, Ethics, and National Security at Duke University. He's recently written in the New York Times in a debate where he argued for reinstatement of the military draft. Major General Dunlap, you've heard some support from that from a couple of veterans we just spoke to. Why do you think we should reinstate the draft?
Oh, actually, Ross, I'm not in favor of reinstating the draft.
Excuse me, I misstated your position.
make some observations.
Yeah.
I do agree that conceptually the notion of national service is a good one. I think everybody, whatever their situation, ought to give back to their country, but I don't think it's necessarily through military service. And allow me to disagree a little bit with my friend Matt Moten in that the current military is not poorer and more minority than the population in general. There's an interesting article that is in the Wall Street Journal about a little more than a year ago by Ann Marlow, who spells out all the facts and figures. It is true that some minorities are underrepresented in the military, Asians and Hispanics and Pacific Islanders, but I think that the military is more reflective than people think it is of the population at large. But the real problem, I think, with the draft is that we've seen figures now that show that almost 75% of the American youth are unqualified or unfit for military service to start out with. And even if we had a draft, only 0.75% of the population actually serves in the military. So I don't know that even if you had a draft and even if there were jobs in the military that short-term draftees could do, whether you would really have this desirable social effect that I think everybody likes to think would be produced by national service.
Major General Dunlap, hang on for just a second. We're going to bring into the conversation someone who disagrees with you on this, New York Congressman Charlie Rangel, veteran of the Korean War and outspoken advocate of reinstating the military draft. Representative Rangel, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for interrupting your discussion. I'm sorry I was not able to hear it, but as they told you, I'm rushing to the train station to get to New York City.
We won't keep you very long, Congressman. We just wanted to know, have you lay out your argument that you've been making over the years that we should have a draft again. Why do you think so?
Because I don't think the Congress fully appreciates the danger of putting our troops in harm's way, since there's no sacrifice at all that they know about, and in many cases that many Americans do. The whole idea that the last war that was declared was World War II, and yet tens of thousands of Americans have been killed without the declaration of war, in violation, in my opinion, of the Constitution. Having said that, if we had a national draft, or if we had a draft before Americans, the president would send out young people and place them in harm's way, I know as a fact, even though it's a hypothetical question, that we would not nearly be involved in the crises that we have. We would not send our own kids and grandkids into Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, or any place in the world.
Congressman Rangel, I gotta ask you though about the fact that we did have a draft. We did have a draft when you were sent into harm's way in Korea, and we did have a draft when American troops were sent to Vietnam. So that seems to indicate that there are still military actions taking place when there is a draft that some might say were ill-advised in retrospect.
Well, you know, I think we've learned a big lesson in Vietnam, and it was so unfair because those people who had the ability to go to college, I think college enrollment increased dramatically merely to avoid the draft, and it turned out that those that were not politically sophisticated and were not going to get a higher education. It was a cruel way they gave exemptions for the draft. It was so unfair. That's why mine is totally without exemption and would mean that unless there's a moral proven reason why you cannot serve, that you just have to serve in a civilian-type capacity. But, you know, the whole idea that public service is something it makes you a better American when you know that you're part of defending her in war or in peace. But certainly, we should not have a declaration of war unless there is a draft and that the members of Congress know who is going to fight that war.
Congressman Rangel, I know you got to catch a train. I really appreciate you taking a few moments to speak to us today. New York Congressman Charlie Rangel, veteran of Korea, who has long argued for a draft for the reasons that he just laid out for you there. Let's bring back Major General Charlie Dunlop, who disagrees with this idea of reinstatement of the military draft. And Major General Dunlop, when we look at other countries that do have compulsory military service, and we have not for the last 40 years, are there any lessons to be drawn there about the way they do it and the way we do it in terms of readiness of the military and in terms of the decisions made about sending young people into harm's way in military action?
Well, let me make one observation. Most countries now are giving up conscription. In fact, they're even talking about giving up conscription in Israel. Most of the European countries, Germany recently gave it up. And part of the reason is that from a military perspective, not only is it unnecessary, it's counterproductive, strictly from a military perspective. Because right now, for example, in this country, it's extremely difficult to get into the military. In fact, the military has met its recruiting goals pretty consistently. In my own area of expertise, which is military lawyers, right now only 1 in 20 applicants is accepted by the military. So, and much the same can be said about retention. And with the military downsizing, there really isn't a need for draftees from a military perspective. Additionally, as you might imagine, any organization, but especially a military organization, would rather be staffed by people who want to be there, who are devoting themselves to it, than people who are being forced to participate. And in today's highly technological military, you simply don't want to invest in a short-term conscript the kind of training and other preparations that you need to do to have someone participate in armed conflict in the 21st century. So from a military perspective, it's not something you want. Now, the social perspective is something different. I think you made an excellent point about the idea that military service doesn't necessarily translate into some kind of expertise, because during the Vietnam War was the period when we had the highest percentage of veterans in Congress. And that didn't necessarily translate into great military policies. I believe in national service, and I believe national service should be incentivized. One form of national service is military service, but there's other things young people can do. And it doesn't even have to be governmental. I do think that people should give back, but they should be incentivized in other ways as opposed to being forced to do one particular kind of national service, and that's the military. And I say all this having served 34 years on active duty myself, and I loved it. but I realize that there are certain people in our society that we need. You know, the Bill Gateses of the world would have never made it in the military, yet they perform a very important function in a free enterprise system. So
Major,
I don't like the idea of forcing people, especially when it's not necessary, to serve under arms.
Major General Dunlap, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And if you've got more thoughts on 40 years after the draft and what it has done and what has it created a military class in our country, is that something that we should be thinking about changing in some way? You can write to us at conversation@kuow.org. Also, we've got a lively discussion going on at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. I'm Ross Reynolds.